T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And welcome to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. Always a pleasure to have you in here. And we are live again on a Sunday night into a Monday. Another hot, hot, hot one. All right, well, welcome in. Enough of my weather rant. So what went on with this car landing on the roof? You just heard it with Brett Bloom, and he was out on the scene, and the photos are nothing less than amazing. How in the world did this SUV end up on the top of the roof? Unusual sight, he says, greeted first responders who arrived at a home in the Walnut Park West neighborhood on the north side of St. Louis. Around 1 o'clock, the vehicle became airborne. Again, first thing that comes to mind, what are those historic movie scenes where you see cars going airborne? Forget the ones where there's like the drawbridge. I've never seen a car try to jump a drawbridge successfully, other than the movies. That doesn't really happen, does it? Has anyone actually seen a drawbridge? Personally, I don't know if I've ever actually seen a drawbridge in person. Maybe once, twice? Maybe once. But nothing that was like major. I've drove over bridges that were drawbridges. Maybe when I was in Traverse City or somewhere around there up in Michigan, they have a couple of small drawbridges where it's just some small boats that go through, but I've never really seen them used. But other than that, who would jump something like that? Maybe the guy had some issues. Who knows? Anything could happen. Normally when you see stories like this, the first thing that comes to mind is, I wonder if the guy had some sort of medical issue leading up to this. That seems to be always the first assumption. The second assumption is, what was he thinking? So reporters on the scene were there, and Brett Bloom talked to someone from, Deputy Chief of Special Operations, Michael Aris, said that the SUV was traveling about 70 miles an hour at least. So if you hit a ramp, in this case, it would be the slope of the front yard and the grass, a steep slope, that could project you to a top of a house? Wow. Maybe 70 is a little optimistic. Maybe it could be more like 90 to 100. I've seen cars go through neighborhoods pretty quick. I've never once seen a car fly like that without there being a medical issue where, you know, every once in a while you see this, like a driver falls asleep. And I know that's not a medical issue, but normally when you fall asleep, it's just you running off the side of the road or something like that into a ditch. But that doesn't seem to be what happened. In this case, the guy was accelerating. You're going faster. Maybe there was like, who knows? I don't want to speculate, but either way, I don't know if the guy had some type of medical issues. That's what they said. Aris added that the home's resident arrived while they were in the process of trying to get the driver off the roof. Could you imagine going to your house? You went out to grab something to eat, or you went to get some groceries, or went to church on a Sunday morning. You were coming back and boom, this bad boy is sitting on the top of your roof, completely destroyed your house. Like in the photos I see, what I don't understand is like it looks like the front of the home, the front. Is this true? So what it looks like is the front of the home and the front wall just collapsed. And the roof was collapsing too, don't get me wrong, but it's like the front of the house popped off. Is that typical when you put some pressure on a roof? I know with like tornadoes and things, the wind can just blow shingles off or maybe some wood panels and things. But man, the amount of pressure from the roof can pop the front of your house. Luckily, the guy wasn't home. Who knows? If he would have been sitting on his living room couch, you know, eating some grapes, watching some, Fox Sports, whatever, can have just been hanging out waiting for the Cardinals game. Well, this would have been today. No Cardinals, I don't think. Was Cardinals on earlier? I think they were on. I don't remember. But the driver, not identified, was taken to the Barnes Jewish Hospital in critical condition. The neighbors complained that people drive too fast around their neighborhoods. Well, no kidding. Every single neighborhood complains about how fast the cars drive. Every single day. Whatever neighborhood you live in, if you're a homeowner, you probably complain about how fast the cars drive. It just happens. Everyone does it. Every time I've gone to a neighborhood and talked to neighbors, oh, I hate how fast they drive. I got to remind them it's 20 here. Everyone says that. You know, they're not alone. But in this case, if you got cars flying up on roofs, then yeah, you got a legitimate case for them saying, maybe they're going a little bit too quickie. The department chief, Aris, said neighbors not only complained about that, even told him there was another time that a car landed on a roof of a home in the neighborhood, but the teenager driver was unable to walk away, was able to walk away. That happened again in that neighborhood? What kind of crazy world cartoon neighborhood do you live in? It's like Looney Tunes, man. You got your car flying down there. What are some of the popular movies or television shows where the cars would fly in the air? Like, I remember Blues Brothers. They flew in the air. Dukes of Hazzard, of course. And they'd play the horn as they were flying. What were some of the other ones? Are there any other good movies where the car would fly? I'm sure there are. I just can't think of any right now. It all seems to be all around a drawbridge. A couple of stories I want to get to. Are the children our future? That's a good question, mainly because of what they're doing in Chicago and also in the state of Illinois. What could be next? Are kids really the future? Of course they are. But how are we going to guide them to get to where they need to go? I'm a little leery on this plan, even though on the surface it seems like a great idea. I get scared when leaders that are very left-leaning say we need to direct our kids when it comes to college, as in they need to be the ones that tell you what you're allowed to do in school. So I'm a little leery when I read stuff like this, even though the premise is a good idea. But I would rather see someone like Mike Rowe, the guy from Dirty Jobs, the guy that's out there is very realistic on the workforce. I'd like to see him directing kids as opposed to like Rahm Emanuel. So that's coming up next. And we'll keep the phone lines open for you. It's a Sunday night. You're listening to Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. Moving right along. Just the start of the show. Does Chicago have a bright idea? Finally, something. Will you think of the children, please? Will somebody think of the children, please? All right, that's exactly what they're doing in Chicago. Or is it? Okay, so a graduate. Let me tell you this story, and you tell me, do high school students, do they need the extra guidance of what they're going to do in the rest of their life? I know you as a parent may be concerned if your high school student has no plan for any further education, or let me specify that, no plan of what they want to do for the rest of their life. Does that concern you? And how do you get them motivated? I'm going to read what they're going to be doing in Chicago, and I want to get your thoughts on this. Should you be pressuring kids what to do? Is this a good thing? I'm going to tell you, I think it's great, but I think they got to approach it in a different way. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. This is from the Washington Post. To graduate from a public high school in Chicago, students will soon have to meet a new and unusual requirement. They must show they've secured a job or receive a letter of acceptance to college, a trade apprenticeship, or a gap year program, or the military. Great, you can't get your diploma unless you prove to them that you either have a job or you're going to college or you're going to boot camp. This traveling the world or I'm going to live with mommy in her basement for the next couple of years and see how this whole YouTube channel works out for you might be the worst plan. And I understand. I 100% fully think this is a good thing. But the problem is, when you sit down with your guidance counselor in high schools anymore, what kind of things are they telling you? Are they directing you to something worthless? Are they looking at your best interests? Are they just trying to move you in and ship you out? This is how I think it needs to be handled. As opposed to guidance counselors, I think that kids need mentors. Mentors are going to be able to give them the real life experience that will help them go farther. It's the things I wish I would have known when I was your age type of talks. It's the, this is how it's done in the professional world kind of talks. You know, your degree that you're going to go for, your philosophy degree, guess what? Won't get you a job. You're going to try to hit it big on the stage. That's probably not going to work. You got an awesome band. Let's hear your demo and bad again. All terrible career paths. Maybe you need a mentor in your life that'll tell you, hey, that's a bad idea. Because ultimately speaking, I'm going to raise my hand when I say guidance counselors. I went to a private Catholic school when I was in high school. And there was guidance counselors there. They had zero interest in the kids there. I can only imagine it's worse when you're in a public school where there's more kids and there's less resources. So I'm just going to throw that out there real quick. Maybe you're a guidance counselor. Call in. I'd like to hear what your interactions are with the students. Maybe you can dispute what I'm saying. But I've never met anyone that said, I had a life-changing talk from my guidance counselor. Ugh. Doesn't happen. 314-436-7900. Rahm Emanuel, the mayor of Chicago, wants to make clear the nation's third largest school system is not just responsible for shepherding teenagers to the end of their senior year, but also for setting them on a path to a productive future. I'm sure that's your purest motivation. And again, I'm going to question the motivations because later in the article, this is what I think it's really about. Chicago rates its high school performance based on the number of graduates who go to college and stay at least 1 year. Oh, so your high schools are rated based on the amount of students that go to college. So you are financially motivated to try to make sure all the kids go to college. You're not morally obligated. You're financially motivated. Oh, I get it now. So I can read in between the lines here. This is one of those little efforts that Chicago school system is doing just in hopes to get a couple extra people to go because it could be financially nice to them. Here's a couple more quotes. We're not going to help kids have a plan because they're going to need it to. We are going to help kids have a plan because they're going to need it to succeed. He said, you cannot have kids think that 12th grade is done. Agreed. But I'm going to raise a couple of more questions for you. Number one. I've known people that just said, you know what, I don't need a college education. Guess what they did? They went out, worked for the family business. They did this or they did that. Maybe they just decided, well, I can learn a trade by getting a job and trying really hard. Or I can go work for this or I can go work for that. Apparently, that's going to be fine. But now they're looking for an acceptance letter of a college, a trade apprenticeship, or a gap year, or a military. Okay. So they're not necessarily saying that entering the workforce directly, maybe trade apprenticeship. That doesn't really work if you got a family business, right? What if you're a farmer and you want to go work on the family farm? Is Chicago going to say, nope, can't graduate now? So Emanuel's plan, approved by the Board of Education late May, has planted Chicago at the center of that debate. Experts say public schools is the first big city system to make a post-graduation plan. Okay, so when you have a big school system getting in and doing something like that, that's exactly it. 17-year-olds are questioning. And part of this article talks about how limited resources that high schools have anymore. When they have less money and more kids going to them, guess what starts happening? They start cutting things they don't necessarily think they need. Guidance counselors being one of them. How many conversations has your high school kid had with a guidance counselor? Have they ever came home and said, you won't believe this stimulating talk. And boy, I have my entire life planned out. I know exactly what I want to do. Thank you, guidance counselor. Nope, that doesn't happen like that. I remember my high school guidance counselor. In fact, I met the principal once and I met the guidance counselor once. One time for the principal because that's what all the graduating seniors got to meet with the principal one time. Guess what that principal did? Looked at his desk, wrote paper, like he was grading papers or doing something. He was doing paperwork while he was forced to talk to me. Had zero interest in me. And I don't even know if the guy's still alive. I got to imagine he doesn't know 99% of those students ever existed in the school. Didn't care. The ones that he paid attention to are probably the ones that gave him trouble. Guidance counselor sat down with him once because, again, they forced you to do it. And he forced me to take a class I didn't want to take. Because we have to go through your senior schedule to make sure you got all the classes you need before you graduate. Going down the list, got finally down to one, and it was a class I wanted to take. And he said, nope, you don't want to take that class. You should take this class instead. Obviously, it was one I had zero interest in. And I said, I don't know. I don't really like that. He goes, no. It's better for college. Here, take this class. Hated it. All I wanted to do was take the class I wanted to take. And who knows what the class was. Again, it had zero lasting power. What's the point? This is what schools need. They need actual mentors to volunteer and talk to these kids. And if you're a high school student or you have kids that are in the high school level, this is what I would encourage you to do. Parents, you got to influence your kids to get on the right track, number one. Number two, they need outside influences too. They need to be able to trust to talk to someone. Think of the people you know in your own network. Let's say people you work with at your job, people you know just as friends that have nice jobs. Maybe they could be mentors, family, friends that are in the workplace right now. Why don't you have them sit down with your kid? And I say this because outside influences, sometimes it's easier for your kids to talk to someone that's not you. Not that it's they're trying to spite you on it or anything like that. It's just sometimes easier for a kid to express themselves when they're not under the pressure of their parents. And sometimes they just want to have that conversation with someone other than their parents. They could be so, so helpful, and they could be so much more helpful than a guidance counselor. All right, so I see we're getting some calls on this. I want to ask you, if you were someone that was in the Chicago school system, what would you do? If this was your thing, you cannot get your diploma for high school. You cannot get it unless you can prove that you've secured a job or received a letter of acceptance for a college, a trade apprenticeship, or you're in the military. What would you do? Is this the right route? It's highly controversial in Chicago. I say I'm fine with it, but I feel like guidance counselors aren't the right way. I don't know. Looks like Pat's calling in. Pat, did you have a different experience with guidance counselors?
Absolutely.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah, I went to a public high school. Can I name it?
Absolutely. Here in St. Louis?
Yeah, I went to Riverview Gardens High School.
Great. What was your graduating class like?
There were 636 of us.
That's a ton of kids. That's huge high school.
2,300 kids.
Yeah.
And the guidance counselors were excellent.
Can I ask you what year you graduated?
1970.
Okay, so that was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was definitely a long time ago.
It's the atmospheres in high schools changed a lot. They don't put an importance anymore in that office. It seems like that's the first one to go when they make cuts. Tell me your experience, though.
I'm not aware. I raised three sons, and when they were in high school, they went to public high schools, and they had an excellent experience.
Oh, great. Where did they go to high school?
Two of them went to St. Charles High School.
Yeah.
And the third one graduated from Kirkwood High.
Great. How long ago was that? Can I ask what year?
From 2001 to 2010.
Okay, cool. So the experience is completely different, though. So what kind of advice did they give to them?
Well, can I address the larger issue here that you're talking about, Rahm Emanuel and Chicago?
Oh, yeah, Chicago. Go for it.
Well, I think it fundamentally, I think this idea is brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that they're just not going to abdicate their responsibility to have these people do something with their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Because high school in no way, shape, or form actually prepares you for our society and a career.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they're forcing these kids to address that so that they have a life beyond 12th grade.
Yeah.
I mean, what I see, particularly in St. Louis, I'm a native St. Louisan, is that you have all of these young children, you know, graduating from high school without proper mentors.
Yeah.
In other words, you correctly state that, you know, these things should be taught in the home by two parents. But we don't have those kinds of families. That kind of nuclear family is, what, 15%
mm-hmm.
of our society any longer? So these at home, these kids are raising themselves, and they have one parent who might be working two or three jobs to pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have it. If they don't get it from their guidance counselor, they're lost.
I wonder, I would love to look across the area and see what the current state of guidance counselors are, because I'm sure there's some school systems that put a lot of importance on it, but I never had that experience even when I was going through high school. Maybe it was just the school I went to. Who knows? Well, I grew up in Michigan, so it could be a different thing. Hey, Pat, thank you for your input there. I do appreciate that.
Well, thank you very much for your show.
Yeah. All right, so Mike's calling in. Mike, hold on, okay? Mostly because we have to go to break. And when we come back, I'm going to take some more of your calls on this. Chicago is going to hold back on the diplomas until you can actually prove you got something to do after high school. And mama's basement's not one of those things you have to prove. I get it. It's a big change. All right. Good idea. I think with a couple of changes, it could be a very good idea. That's coming up on Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. All right, Mike, we're going to take your call. But if you want to chime in on this, you can. The plan that Chicago has laid forward here, is it the right plan for the high school students? And should every high school be doing this? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Thanks for holding on, Mike. How you doing?
Thank you, Ryan. First, I just want to thank you for engaging me. I'm on my last hour of a four-hour trip back from a camp for high school students that I run in Indiana.
So you have high school students in the van right now?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
But they're up at camp. So I do work with high school students. I'm in 13 high schools, private and public, around St. Louis. This year I worked with 818.
Mm-hmm.
There were two things that I wanted to share. I was very fortunate when I was in high school. I don't know if this would work today because of the cost, but my parents sent me to a public school that was a career development center. In those days, they called it a magnet school,
okay,
where students could take and spend half a day doing everything from broadcasting to auto repair to fashion design. They had, I don't know, 100 different subject matters that kids could try out during their 4 years of high school. Mm-hmm. Today, that may be able to be done through mentorships during the summer, which the guidance counselors could help facilitate for their students. The more, I think, relevant point today is a study that came out from Harvard that I use very much when I speak to teens as well as their parents, is the value of a gap year program.
Mm-hmm.
It's becoming much more in vogue. And what Harvard has discovered is that students who take a gap year actually end up finishing college faster, reduce the number of major changes in their career, which reduces the cost and speeds up the program.
Mm-hmm.
They also have greater life and job satisfaction because they're not being pressured to choose a career in a freshman or sophomore year of college when they're only 19 years old.
Uh-huh.
They have that maturity that they've gained from a gap year. They're much more settled, and they have much greater chances of a successful college career, staying on track, and ultimately greater life satisfaction.
Can I ask you about that study?
Please.
Okay, so normally speaking, so when you graduate high school, you're about 19, 18 or 19, somewhere in there?
You're usually 17 or 18.
All right, so what is there any part of that study that talks about, let's say they know they want to go to college but not necessarily ready to declare a major, what about just getting the prerequisites done and going to like a community college in the meantime while you're trying to figure it out?
Yeah, I mean, they speak about that a little bit. What they're more focused on is, while you could do those prerequisites, the end result is you're going to be forced to choose a major by the time you're 19. The brain isn't fully developed. You have zero life experience. You haven't been out there. And therefore, what they recommend is to develop that maturity, experience life, and then when you come back, you're ready to engage the college or even a, I'm losing my brain. I'm going on very
You need a gap year. All right.
I need a gap year, right? You know, a mentorship, apprenticeship. That's
yes,
what I'm looking
yes,
for.
Yes, yes. You kids. I say high school, there's no downside, I think, if you have a strong mentor that's helping you, someone that you can talk to, have a conversation with, that will give you the realization of what the world is like in a way where it's not all happy and something that's like, okay, if you're going to go to college and you really want to do this, then you shouldn't be doing this. Someone that can actually lay it out to you that you can trust and talk to as a high school student.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And if you do it right, if you do this gap year idea, you actually get a year's worth of college credit.
How?
Because you can take gap year programs around the world and even in other places in America that are quote-unquote accredited, and you can knock out a lot of your optional courses and some prereqs, and very often a lot cheaper than what you would pay tuition at a university. All of my children have done that. I have four that are in college. One is actually now in the middle of, or just finished his first gap year, my youngest. And they all come into college, minimally sophomores, and one even came in as almost a junior because of the coursework and other things they had done on their gap year program.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by this. So can you get college credits for going to the School of Hard Knocks during that gap year?
I think it would depend on what college you went to. That's a long story. I'm not going to waste your time on that one.
All right, how about this one, though? When you go in and talk to high school students, how many of them that were not going to go to college change their mind and make a different career path?
That's an interesting question because I don't really focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about development as a human being. We talk about all those areas, how to engage and grapple with the issues teens are facing today, from, you know, substance abuse, relationships, how do I get into a good college, stress, anxiety, depression, whatever it is. But what we are finding is that the teens are under a tremendous, tremendous amount of pressure. It's not like when you and I were young.
Mm-hmm.
Today, kids, they have no time. They have to do extracurricular sports. They're so over-programmed between homework and extracurricular activities that most of them really don't have much of a, quote-unquote, social life. They're constantly studying. And I'm talking about from the fanciest, top-of-the-line private schools in St. Louis down to what I would call some of the I don't want to say lower end, but not the fancy public schools.
Yeah.
And I'm finding this all across. But your previous caller had a tremendous point, is the value of the family involvement in the education and developmental process.
Yeah, and I can talk on my own perception on that. I guess I've had talks with my parents when I was going through high school, but I feel like I just always knew what I was going to do. And there's got to be kids that know that, too, are just ready to hit the ground running by the time they go to college.
Yeah, I knew exactly what I wanted to do when I went to college, but I ended up taking a gap year. And by the time I was done, I had totally changed my mind. And I would have wasted a fortune of money and time, which was even more important than the money, getting a degree in something that I ended up not wanting to do.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing your story there, Mike. It was good hearing it.
My pleasure. Thanks for keeping me awake.
And definitely keep up the good work with the high school students. They need all the help they can get. You're doing good work.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Keeping them awake. All right. So I'm going to have to throw in random sound effects every once in a while to keep him on his toes while he's driving around. It is that time of year where you start taking the kids to, like, high school camps. I cannot wait when my kid's old enough for him to start sleeping over at friends' houses. I know it'll be like, the first couple of times, it'll be like, I want to check in a million times. But then after that, I can't imagine my wife and I having alone time. It's been so long. Our kid's way too young for that now anyway. And our family all lives out of state now that we moved here to St. Louis. So I got a lot of time for that happens. So the high school years, when it's time to go to camp, boy, am I going to live that up. I love you, honey. But I'm going to quote the bottom of this, too, because apparently someone called in from the Chicago area, and she said that it's all a financial deal, which I am a little skeptical. I think, ultimately speaking, this is not a bad thing if there's some more, I guess, some more shaping of what's appropriate and what's not when it comes to trying to guide these high school students. But I think it really comes down to this one line. Chicago rates its high school performance based partly on the number of graduates who go to college and stay there at least a year. So if there's some sort of funding that your schools are getting, or there's some kind of financial motivation to make sure the kids go to college, then yeah, it is in your best interest to put them that way. Is it a bad thing that they're telling them to go to college? Not at all. Is it a bad thing if there's a different plan in place and they're trying to push them away from it? Maybe. Yes. Things have changed a lot over the years. Things have changed. I've known people that don't go to college. In fact, one of my best friends up in Michigan, his brother decided not to go to college. Why? Because his mother, God rest her soul, came down with some medical issues and they needed more care for him. people have family issues that they have to tend to, right? Not everyone graduating from high school has the means to go to a college or the time or the ability to move it away from a family. Let's say there's a girl who got pregnant and had a baby while in high school. Are you telling her that you can't be a mom because that's not an appropriate plan? I'm, you know, there's going to be circumstances, I'm sure, but are you also going to take away a diploma for one of those kids, knowing these instances? So I don't know what the wiggle room looks like here, but at the same time, I'm trying to think of what I think are the rare occasions where this could be taken, where the schools could be taking advantage of these kids, telling them they can't graduate. But nonetheless, for the most part, tell them to get to college or a trade school. Let's underline trade school, where the you can get apprenticeship or learn a trade that is going to be utterly important. Electrician, plumbing, anything that is a high demand field right now where you can make a lot of money. And especially if you take business classes, start your own business doing this, even better. So let's focus on those things too. Let's make sure we're putting an importance on these kids so they're going to the right areas as opposed to them meeting with a guidance counselor. Oh, yeah, real quick. Oh, we got to go to break. But look at this one guidance counselor thing. There's this one quote from a high school student. A low-performing high school, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so where was that one number? There was basically, they said there was four. Here's the gist of it. Okay, Morgan Park has three guidance counselors in a college career coach. So that's four people helping the high school students, 1,300 students. Okay. So you have roughly one guidance counselor for 400 students. No, 350, right around there. You have one guidance counselor per 350 students. You're telling me they're able to give a lot of attention to each and every single student? You know, they're going to sit down with them, check the boxes off, and get them out. I mean, that's a shame, but I think there needs to be a higher importance put on mentors. I think it's very important. All right, coming up, a few other things I want to get to. This was an interesting article Vox put out. Is Ronald Reagan to blame for the decline of St. Louis? What a headline. What a slap to Ronald Reagan. Is that really something you can put on him? All right, I'm going to lay out Vox's argument, and you can decide for yourself. Coming up on Overnight America, KMOX. Oh, you know what? I've heard this song before. Is this Adam Carolla's start of his podcast? I think this is what he uses. I never knew this was an actual song. I thought it was just something he created for his podcast. Adam Carolla is I never knew this song. Mighty, Mighty Boss Tone Someday. Yeah, did not realize this. If you don't know Adam Carolla, he's with Dennis Prager right now. So him and Dennis Prager are doing a college tour where they're going around and trying to talk about politically, well, what do you say, social justice stuff, being politically correct on college campuses, not allowing people to speak, those type of topics. But he was a longtime radio show host in L.A. before they changed what was in an FM talk station. He started his own podcast company, which he hosts the podcast, one of the most popular podcasts in the country right now. Lots of dirty words on that podcast, I'll warn you right now. But he is someone that is one of those realistic people. In fact, there was a story that I'm going to get to later in the show that talked about someone on the Howard Stern show pointing out the hypocrisy when it comes to ad campaigns for Reebok, which Adam Carolla is one of those guys that likes to point out hypocrisy in a realistic way. And I like him, too. He's one of those guys that's like, use your hands to do things type of guy. He's like, I think he used to be a contractor or an electrician or something like that. Because he had a TV show on one of the cable networks where he'd go through and show where contractors did a poor job and then confront him on that. All right, so here's that was a side note. Ronald Reagan, is he to blame for the decline of St. Louis? So Vox puts out an article, and whenever someone from L.A. or Washington, D.C. or New York City, or for that case, anywhere else, puts out an article that says, here's St. Louis, you need to be angry at someone. You know, without them ever once setting foot in the city. I know I'm an outsider because I just moved here 3 months ago. But I'm someone that's claiming St. Louis my home. I moved here. My family's here. We're going to settle here. So when I invest into an area, you know, I invest into the community. These people have no investment is what I'm trying to say. So here's the start of the article from Vox. The growing economic gap between prosperous coastal cities and the struggling cities in middle America is often blamed on impersonal forces like globalization and technological progress. But some thinkers have started pointing out the other culprit, little notice shifts in antitrust enforcement beginning in the 1980s. So I want you to try to follow along from the Vox article. The argument goes something like this. Back in the 80s, Reagan's administration changed antitrust policies to be more friendly to mergers. As a result, we got a little more mergers, resulting in massive conglomerates that are disproportionately headquartered in a handful of big cities. The result, a few big cities have gained jobs, while other ones like St. Louis, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh have suffered from the economic loss. And having so much economic activity squeezed into the hand of larger cities may be holding back the United States as a whole. That's their logic. Where do they go back and they say, blame Reagan. Blame Ronald Reagan. So antitrust supporters, especially those in New America, argue that declining antitrust enforcement played a significant role in the declined mid-sized cities. I don't agree with that, mostly because there's a lot of cities that are growing that aren't L.A. or New York. I want you to look at Texas right now. You want to know what's working in Texas? They lowered the taxes so much for businesses to come in and start building there. And that worked. The state I came from, Indiana, they lowered taxes and made it, they put the emphasis on businesses moving in, and it worked. The areas where, hey, you might not have the hip New York feel, hey, I might not be able to get a pizza or a bagel everywhere, and, you know, I don't have to ride the subway and see a rat carrying food somewhere, or I don't have to walk in human feces that, you know, because the trash that's piled up in the streets. You know, if that's your thing, that's your thing. But I don't know why I said human feces, but if that's your thing, that's your thing. But it's, I got to imagine some people just like the feel of, in the culture of really large cities. So they say, I got to go to LA. I got to go to New York. You talk about those kids that don't know what they're doing. They say, I want to go to a big city. They don't know what they're going to do out there. They just want to go to a big city. I think that mentality, and especially my generation and younger, they feel like they have to do it. I need to get away from my small town so-and-so and go to the big city. I don't think it necessarily has to do with these large companies. I think that people see it as a hip option, and that's the kind of lifestyle they want. So they point out a few different things that happened here in St. Louis. In the 1990s, St. Louis served as a hub for TWA. When I talk to our program director, Steve Moore, he always likes to talk about the problems that the airport has had when it came to expansion and not following through on that. Anheuser-Busch doesn't hire as many people as they used to. At a certain point, it became a vicious cycle. The shortage of top-tier ad agencies and law firms make it harder to attract new corporation headquarters. Okay, so that's the gist of the story. I don't buy into this sort of thing. I really don't. And especially for Vox to come out and say, guess what? I have another way to bash Ronald Reagan, and I'm going to do it. That's their thing. That's, you know, that's what they're going to do. When the website elites, I guess I should say, jump into what they do. All right, I want to talk about the dilemma here in St. Louis, though. Minimum wage cuts. Do it or not? That's the big question on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.